CHL. Coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Hour number two of Blaine and Mickey featuring Buck Rising today. Blaine has the day off, so Buck Rising from A to Z Sports and A to Z Sports Primetime and the 615 Sessions podcast. And he's also an international man of mystery, among other things. He is sitting in today and tomorrow as Blaine gets some well-deserved time off. We've talked a whole lot of Titans. Derrick Henry has been named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Buck had some thoughts on that we shared in the first hour. I think we still have some phone calls about that very thing. We'll get to the phones in a minute. But as the Titans are leaving the practice field today, Buck, a quick update. John Glennon of Broadway Sports has video of Adoree Jackson. He says he practiced for the second straight. He is practicing, he said, for the second straight week. The team can activate him to the 53-man roster. John adds, at any point, it can happen now, Buck, right now. Like, I wave a magic wand over him, and he could be good to go again. Jimmy Wyatt, Dodgers fan extraordinaire, who's probably still walking 10 feet off the ground right now, says, here is who is not spotted today. That's the way Jim does it. Not spotted on the practice field today for the Titans. Jadeveon Clowney, A.J. Brown, Dennis Kelly, Christian Fulton, not a surprise, Jonathan Joseph. Those are the people missing from practice. And one notable person who is practicing, Adoree Jackson. This team needs Adoree Jackson in the worst of ways. He is a number one cornerback in this league and would instantly give them a giant upgrade in every aspect in the secondary, especially now without Christian Fulton. So, Buck, how are you – what's the right word? Is this encouraging for you? Do you feel like maybe this could be the week? Because I thought maybe it'd be last week, and it was not last week that we got the return of 25.
No, they made a decision on Saturday before the Steelers game to not let him go for that game against Pittsburgh. Rightly, wrongly, or indifferent, I think the objective should be to get him as right as humanly possible before you throw him back out there, because they're going to need him down the stretch. And they don't have a luxury of a bye week anymore. I mean, last week should have been their bye week. They had that was probably the healthiest that they have been coming into the Pittsburgh game. And they ultimately they could have done well with the number one corner, given all of the weapons that Ben Roethlisberger had. But I am optimistic about Adoree Jackson playing against the Bengals. I don't know when we will see a complete picture of what the Titans secondary is supposed to look like, given that Christian Fulton is expected to miss a considerable amount of time. And now the theory with Adoree, right, is that you get your number one cornerback and everybody bumps down into a more natural role. Now, I don't necessarily think it's a complete and total disaster without Christian Fulton, because as far as I'm concerned, I've seen better football out of Chris Jackson. And maybe that's not what you want to hear as a Titans fan or anybody out there in the audience, but I have been more pleasantly surprised with the seventh round rookie than I have the second round pick. And we understand that the no preseason, the live game reps that they were dropped into the middle of this year is going to have a substantial effect on their development. The coaches need to, Mike Vrabel will tell you, the coaches need to coach better, the players need to play better. And on it goes. But I would feel good about Adoree Jackson's chances on Sunday against Cincy. What I do not feel great about is Dennis Kelly. I don't know what's going on with Dennis. On the injury report, I just had it in front of me from Wednesday. We'll get a better picture probably by the time you and I are off the air today. But I believe the injury report for Dennis, as I pull him up here, had him down as a knee. And a second day in a row without practice, they are considerably thin at tackle right now. You already have Ty Sambrea on the left side. Isaiah Wilson, apparently full go again for a second day, which I don't know how soon he would contribute to the lineup, but they did activate David Quessenberry off the roster or off the practice squad, which I think would be an indication of Isaiah Wilson's readiness. This is not a throwaway game just because the Bengals stink. Do not fool yourselves into thinking that. They can score, they can move the ball on you, and if it comes to a shootout and you have to rely on the kicker, who is less and less reliable this year, or at least this year more than any other point in his career, This is not a throwaway game against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, when you've got a team that can't get off the field on third down and has trouble covering, and the Bengals show up with a rookie quarterback who just threw for his first 400-yard game and is setting all kinds of rookie passing records, and I get it, it's a different league than, you know, Terry Bradshaw entered in the late 60s, or I guess 1970 maybe it was Terry Bradshaw. Either way, it's a completely different world. Everybody's throwing it around the yard, but this guy's doing it better than anybody else has done recently. And you've got wide receivers and tight ends and Gio Bernard who can catch the ball out of the backfield. There's a lot of things that they can throw at you, Buck. The thing that they do well, the thing they do the best, is the thing the Titans don't take care of the best. That's a terrifying scenario to me.
I would be there are many reasons to live in fear right now if you're a Titans fan, but that will not be the approach that they take. I would be interested, though, Mickey, before we have Adam Humphries, Titans wide receiver, coming up in the next segment, how the callers are feeling about that, because I know we had a couple on the line.
Yeah, we do. We were talking about Derrick Henry, and others wanted to weigh in on him as well as Tannehill. So let's do this. Ricky on West End has been kind enough to hold. He wanted to weigh in on the Titans quarterback. Ricky, what's going on?
So it goes to Derrick Henry, too. And I think, like, and Buck said all the stats, I was going to say, 9 touchdowns plus the rushing touchdown for Ryan Tannehill. The disrespect that Ryan Tannehill gets from the national media as just kind of like, oh, Derrick Henry carries him. What is the team's record after these 6 games if Ryan Tannehill's not the quarterback? And if Titans fans are being honest, we're probably 2-4. And that's how significant Ryan Tannehill's been. And I would even say, going back to the year before, obviously he really lifted things. If you had Arthur Smith and you had Derrick Henry with Mariota, nothing was happening. And then you bring in Ryan Tannehill and the sky's open and it's sunny and rainbows all of a sudden. So I think just overall the disrespect towards Ryan Tannehill and this award going to Derrick Henry is just piling on more. Because the national media for 6 years used Ryan Tannehill as a whipping boy. They can't accept the fact that he's actually a pretty elite quarterback. So they're trying to just make it seem like Derrick Henry's carrying this team, but it's pretty obvious it's Ryan Tannehill. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Give him the heater, Ricky. Yeah, man, appreciate the phone call. A little major league quote as you stare at me, Buck, like you have no idea what language
I don't know what that means. What is major league? What are we talking about here?
It's like the greatest baseball and sports movie that's ever been created.
I thought that was going to be another 90s folk singer that you were going to cite on your Twitter timeline.
No. Just Lisa Loeb telling me it was National Cat Day. It is not National Hamburger Day, but Derrick Henry did make hamburger news when he gave a shout-out to a certain chain, Wendy's, as being the best hamburger. It sent Will Compton into an absolute frenzy. Titans practice squad linebacker and bussing with the boys guy. Derrick on line 6 wants to weigh in on what I was calling Burgergate yesterday. What's going on, Derrick?
Hey, so Derrick Henry is totally right because Wendy's is the best burger. The burgers are fresh. The fries are wonderful. And want a burger? It's more like, is it really a burger? So, yeah, Wendy's is the best.
Hey, hang up on him, JT. You don't bring Whataburger slander onto this program. Derrick. More so,
Derek's going to have to make a far more compelling argument than their fries are fresh. All right. Like that's, you know, that's not doing anything for me in the midst of Burgergate. That was about as weak an argument as you could have brought to the table, as weak as potentially bringing a Wendy's burger to the table over any of the fine options that exist out there in the burger universe.
Yeah, Will Compton really took this to heart. Went after practice, drove through, got himself a #1 double. Buck, you were telling him you're going to be the only 300-pound backup practice squad inside linebacker in the NFL. But I pointed this out to you. As Comp said in his burger review, he didn't drink the Dr. Pepper that came with it. As many people pointed out, was a terrible waste of some fine Dr. Pepper, I might add.
I'm actively rooting for him to get fat. I want him to be the NFL's first 300-pound practice squad linebacker. For nothing but my own social media enjoyment. So go ahead with the burger reviews, Comp. Go ahead. See how that pans out for you. They're on the Titans practice squad.
Buck Rising hanging out for Blaine Bishop today. We got Adam Humphries coming up. Let's talk to the Titans receiver. Get the latest from him as he leaves the practice field. Titans getting ready for the Bengals. You'll hear that game Sunday right here on 104.5 The Zone. You'll hear from Adam Humphries next right here on Blaine and Mickey with Buck Rising.
Are Tannehill and Henry MVP candidates? Are you concerned about the defense? And what about the kicking game?
Set. Kick on the way.
Talk about it here on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
Hour number two of Blaine and Mickey on this Thursday. Buck Rising sitting in for Blaine Bishop. He'll be here today and he'll be here tomorrow. Buck will be. Let's start this segment. Let's get some Titans inside information from Titans wide receiver Adam Humphries, who joins us now. Adam, hey man, good to have you back on the show.
Hey man, thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with this because I want to know about this guy. I want to talk to you about Adam Humphries, the 2011 cornerback recruit that I read all about on Rivals.com out of Dorman High School. I want to hear about this guy playing cornerback that got recruited by Clemson. Let's hear about him.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that was a while ago. But, yeah, I played corner in high school. And to be honest with you, going into my sophomore year, I was thinking about quitting football and focusing on basketball just because I had a passion for basketball and I had some small schools, you know, showing interest early. And, you know, my high school coach convinced me to stick with football. He thought that'd be a better path, and I did. And, you know, I was successful at the defensive back position, but Coach Scott and Coach Sweeney at Clemson both saw me as a, you know, slot receiver and were able to, you know, offer me. And, you know, it was, you know, Clemson from there on and all that.
So if Adam Humphries doesn't wind up going to Clemson to, you know, for the rest to be history, give us an idea like where you might have gone and played basketball, you know, where we might have seen you, you know, in March Madness. Where would that have been?
Yeah, no, that's funny. I probably would have ended up at a smaller SoCon school, you know, growing up in South Carolina. I remember Presbyterian College, Wofford, Furman, schools like that where we're showing some interest, football and basketball. You know, they're showing interest in both. But, you know, as soon as Clemson made that offer, full ride to play football, you know, I knew I wouldn't find a better spot to land just with the culture they had there and the atmosphere and, you know, being closer to home was perfect.
Talking to dual sport recruit Adam Humphries right here on the Blaine and Mickey Show.
What's going on, Adam? Yeah, I thought about turning completely ill and just asking you basketball questions for the rest of this interview, but for the people's sake, we will not do that. You guys are 5-1 right now. Obviously, the first loss of the season coming against the Steelers. And we talked to AJ on these godforsaken Zoom calls that they have us on with you guys now, and he was really, really thoughtful in his response about, you know, if we had continued to win with the same problems on whatever side of the ball that we're having, some of this stuff would have been brushed under the rug. And Mike Vrabel, we talked to him the day after. He said, you know, I respect AJ. I respect him as a person, as a player, but we try and coach the action as opposed to the result. For you guys this week, has it been any kind of a reset, or is it just trying to continue to workshop the things that have gotten you to this point and had so much success so far?
Yeah, no, I do see what AJ's saying there, but you know, I agree with Coach Braves. I think regardless of the results, you know, week in and week out, we're being coached the same, and we see where we need to improve, and we see where we're doing well. And you know, this week, you know, obviously we played a really good opponent in Pittsburgh Steelers, and they did a lot of things that, you know, made us uncomfortable and you know, made it difficult for us to you know, to come out with a win, and you know, they ended up winning the game. But you know, our approach this week was the same as each week, win or loss. You know, find what we can do better, and then, you know, keep improving on what we already do well. And we feel like we've had a good week, productive week, and you know, excited to get to Cincinnati and get back on track.
I heard everything but on to Cincinnati in that answer, Adam, and it's a good job out of you to agree with your boss over your teammate. Always the smart play. Tannehill has been otherworldly this year. This is a streak that he's continued from last year. And I know you missed a considerable amount of time. So this is really the first expanded sample size that we've seen you guys working together alongside with Corey and AJ, and really Pittsburgh, the first time since the season opener that we've seen everybody on that offense available to him. But I'm looking at the targets right now, and for everybody who's on the field with on a regular basis, AJ's got 23 catches, you have 22, Corey's right there with 21, Jonnu's got 20, and Ferks are 19. How much better is an offense where the targets are being distributed so evenly, and how much better can that make you guys, or how much more difficult can it make you guys to defend?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's exciting to come in every week on Wednesday and Thursday and, you know, to open up the game plan that Arthur has for us, and, you know, just from every receiver tight end that we have in the lineup that week has a chance to make big plays and big catches and get targets. So, and that's what's great about having a quarterback like Tannehill who's patient in the pocket and goes through all his progressions. You know, regardless if you're the first read or the last, you know, you've got a chance to get in the ball, and we know we got to make the most out of every target we get. So, you know, I think we've done a good job of that so far, and Tannehill's done a phenomenal job of, you know, dispersing it to all the playmakers.
Titans wide receiver Adam Humphries joins us. What's the give and take like with Arthur Smith? I mean, you've had, obviously, you've been on a couple of different teams in your career. What's that back and forth like with an offensive unit and with an OC like Arthur?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, open communication 24/7. You know, he'll reach out to you via text if he sees something, you know, later in practice that we didn't cover in meetings. And he holds everyone to the same, you know, accountability. You know, he's holding everyone accountable, regardless who you are, or how many catches or how many years you played in this league. He's got a vision that he's very confident in, and you know, he sticks to it, and very transparent with what he expects out of all of us. And you know, it's been a pleasure working with him, and you know, second year in this offense, it's fun to you know, be comfortable, you know, with the guys that you're surrounded by and the coaches that you're playing for. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, that was certainly a topic of conversation a lot, Adam, in the off season, and even with Arthur when he was asked about it, and all of you guys who spoke, you said, obviously we're not having to install anything because it's year two with the same guy. We're adding to what we've done last year. We're adding to the things that we did. That's got to be a fun thing, though, to take something that was successful and build onto it even further.
Yeah, no, as a receiver, it's awesome because, you know, I spent 4 years in Tampa. We had, you know, some success on offense, and each year, you know, we kept adding and improving, and the trust between quarterback and receiver just kept improving each and every year. You know, I see some of that now. You know, we've got Tannehill in the system for his second year. The communication between quarterback and receiver again is there, and you know, the trust is continuing to grow. So, you know, we're adding a few wrinkles here and there that, you know, Arthur trusts us to make those decisions on the field you know, in real time. And you know, it's just great to have that trust from your offensive coordinator, and you know, just being on the same page with the quarterback.
Ryan has Buck asked you, and you talked about Ryan does such a great job of distributing the ball, and everybody gets touches and gets their opportunities. You guys also have a really big, fast running back to hand the ball to. And one thing that Titans fans notice is the wide receivers block for him. And with you guys, I would imagine no matter how far downfield you are, you'd have to think he's got a chance to get here really quick.
Yeah. It's funny as a receiver, you know, it's, you're always, you know, coach the block and finish longer than the guy with the ball. But with Derek, I mean, you never know where that ball is bouncing or where he may take it. And, you know, it's obviously hard to bring a guy like that down, and he's proved that. So, you know, in our receiver, when we're continuing to be coached and trying to stay on our guy as long as we can, and you know, not be upset if you're, you know, if he goes one way and you think he's going the other, because, you know, Derek's a beast, and, you know, he's gonna go where, you know, wherever he wants. So we just try to stay on our guy and run our feet and, you know, just finish longer than the guy with the ball. And, you know, we're going to continue to block for him because he's a tough guy to bring down.
Titans wide receiver Adam Humphries here with us on Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. You can follow him at Adam Humphries 13 on Twitter, at Adam Humphries 10 on the gram. I've counted now, Adam, because I did a little digging prior to you coming on the show, and I wanted to see, you know, what where could we get the best of Adam Humphries? And I said, what can I ask him that he'll be funny on? What can I do to get him going? And I was told very, very blatantly, he doesn't do funny, but you said that's funny twice. So I do not believe the people that have reported back to me erroneously. Do you have anything to dispute that Adam Humphries does not have a sense of humor?
No, I do have a sense of humor, and it can be dry and sarcastic at times, but I love to enjoy, you know, just being out at practice every day and making jokes with the guys. I mean, it's I don't get on Twitter or Instagram a ton and show my personality through that. But you know, the people that know me, I think, know that I enjoy having a good time.
That's Adam Humphries telling me that I have bad sources on that he does not embrace the funny from time to time. So let's go this direction though, because Mickey asked you about Derek. And we had Corey on the Zoom, Corey Davis on the Zoom yesterday, and he, for whatever reason, was asked about his favorite Derrick Henry stiff arm. And Corey said, well, one, on the 99-yarder where he actually almost got stiff-armed by Derrick en route to the end zone. And, of course, the Josh Norman one is the one that gets continually played on the highlights. Do you have a favorite stiff arm from this year? Because Corey's had some of his own. Do you have a favorite stiff arm from the 2020 Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry or otherwise?
I mean, it's hard to look past the Josh Norman one. And the reason that I enjoyed it so much is, I was obviously in quarantine during that game, and, I was watching it on TV, and I got to see every angle and the slow motion, and it was just really impressive to see how he could stay in stride and just his length and his reach was something that I will never be able to do. So it's cool to see that from a teammate, and it was really awesome.
Indeed. It is always awesome to see one grown man throw another one through the center of the earth the way that Derrick Henry did to Josh Norman. We'll leave you with this one, and you can settle this for everyone listening at home and apparently for your entire locker room, because Cheeseburger Gate is ongoing. Derrick Henry claims that Wendy's, the number one, make it a double, I believe, as Will Compton said, is the greatest of the fast food cheeseburgers. I think that it is the most wrong Derrick Henry has ever been in his entire life as a player. What is the best fast food cheeseburger according to Titans wide receiver Adam Humphries? Or do you even eat cheeseburgers? Because you look like you don't, if I'm being honest.
Man, that is tough, because I don't eat a ton of cheeseburgers, and I will say if I'm going to Wendy's, I usually get the 5-piece chicken nuggets with a Frosty and a fry. That's normally what I'm getting from Wendy's. But fast food cheeseburgers, I mean, I may get a lot of hate for this, but I've always been a Big Mac fan. That's just, I'm gonna roll with McDonald's.
The classics. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I think the Big Mac, for as iconic as it's been, is widely underrated. Go ahead, Mick.
I have to clarify something though, because you said this. You mentioned the nuggets, the fries, and the Frosty. As God watches over us now, Adam, please don't tell me you put those potato pieces into that Frosty. Please don't tell me you dip French fries into a Frosty.
I'm sorry, man, but I have to say that I do that. It's an incredible way to get a little sweet and salty.
He is not only a great wide receiver on third down or otherwise, he is a great burger, or rather French fry in Frosty dipping American. Adam Humphries, Titans wide receiver, kind enough to join us here on the Blaine and Mickey Show. Thanks for hanging out, buddy. It was fun.
Thanks, man.
Adam Humphries, recruited as a cornerback out of South Carolina, and said he was going to quit football and just play basketball. Said he was getting offers to play basketball, Buck. And I'm always fascinated by guys who are just great athletes, because if you look at, like, I'm like you, he doesn't put a lot out there. There's not pictures of him and his dogs or or just stuff like that where you're like, hey, man, tell us about your dogs. So you got to enterprise a little bit. So I thought, I'm going to go back to the beginning. So I went back. I found his rivals.com page, and here it is. Here's this cornerback who it looked like he only made one visit. So he said, once I was on Clemson, I was on like one visit only to Clemson, went to Clemson, nailed it all down. That's what he said. And he said, you know, Coach Dabo, he told me, hey, man, you come here, you're a slot receiver. One of the coolest things as you talk to guys about their history is guys who went to college as one thing and a coach said to them, hey, man, there was a guy who was from just up the road from me named Albert Shelley, and he played at Arkansas State. And Larry Lacewell, who Cowboys fans and Tennessee fans know as a longtime football coach, was with the Vols when they won two SEC championships, helped build the Cowboys teams that won three Super Bowls, but he was the coach at Arkansas State. And this guy from Truman, Arkansas goes there, and he's a running back, like the best in the state. And Larry Lacewell tells him, if you'll play defensive back, I can get you in the NFL. He did. He played 11 years in the NFL. So it's amazing to me sometimes the things that coaches can see with a player and his skill set that can lead somebody all the way to a career like that or like Adam Humphries is having.
And certainly in football, I think that's interesting. And the Clemson thing has always been perplexing to me because people who go there love it. I mean, you talk about, and maybe Trevor Lawrence just doesn't want to play for the New York Jets is why he's contemplating publicly wanting to stay in Clemson, but their retention rate for the talent that they get there, the way that they're able to build these championship teams where they have some of the best defensive linemen in all of college football, and they return that entire unit to make another run at it. Trevor Lawrence is arguably the best quarterback prospect that any of us have seen since Andrew Luck, the second time that the Titans killer has been brought up on today's show. I would be curious because my impression of Dabo Swinney has always been off-putting. Like, that's just not the kind of person. I don't know. The things that he does publicly, I always find to be a little bit of a turnoff, and the way that he handles himself. But I'm not a college recruit. I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not, you know, any kind of an athlete, to be completely honest with you. So I don't get it. What Dabo's got going on down there, but he always does seem to really, really enchant these guys and get them to really buy into what they build at Clemson's program, which has always been a fascination. I want it on the record, though, that we got Adam Humphries to laugh a couple times, and I was told that he did not do funny at all. So I feel like we've accomplished a great amount of things today on the Blaine and Mickey show. And just one interview.
He said twice, that's funny.
Which I counted as a laugh. I count that's funny as a laugh. It's what 100%. People who don't think something is funny do instead of laughing. They say, that's funny.
I think he really meant it, though. He said, hey, man, that's funny. I mean,
if felt genuine to you.
Oh, that's funny. See, that's somebody who's saying that's not funny. But he's like, hey, that's funny. To me, that's somebody who's substituting that phrase for a laugh 100%.
Oh, indeed. Well, I bet I wouldn't have gotten a lot of laughs at him if I had brought my Derrick Henry AFC Player of the Month, Offensive Player of the Month is a fraud award to his attention. I don't think that would have necessarily gone over well.
Buck Rising, yes, putting that out earlier, just basically stating some statistical arguments, but many Titans fans weighed in on places like Twitter and on the phone, and they said the stiff arm alone was enough to get him the Player of the Month honor. The 212-yard game. Was another rushing game. That's another big, big watershed moment that happened. And, you know, those were things that Titans fans felt warranted Derrick Henry his award from the AFC. So when we're talking about pre-show stuff today, we got one more segment coming up. We got a couple more minutes here.
Is that it? Is it over already?
No, it's quick. The show is a sprint. You need to know that. So we're in Gallatin yesterday, and we've done a lot of shows in Gallatin, and Gallatin's fun because Gallatin is one of those places when you do a show, people will come to wherever you are just to see you. So we're in Sudden Service. Well, two different guys came in, independent of each other, over the span of about 40 minutes or so. And one guy came in and he goes, hey, man, you talk about music a lot. Have you ever played in Gallatin? And I said, I have not. I said, we're doing this thing. Two Rivers Ford has this great partnership, and they're saving all these historic music venues. And you can see that all over the Zone's Twitter. And I said, I've played in Exit Inn and 3rd and Lindsley and 12th and Porter, all these places I dreamed about. And he goes, no, I'm not talking about any of that. He said, you played here at a funeral. I saw you. And I was like, no, man, I've never played music at a funeral and not here. And he goes, no, man, that was you. And I said, I'm telling you, friend, I never brought a bass to Gallatin. I brought myself, never played a funeral here, but rest in peace to whomever you were attending, you know, a celebration of that person's life.
So this man is standing in front of you, telling you, trying to convince you, like in person, he's trying to convince you that you are the bass player or the guitar player at the funeral that he is referencing.
100%.
That would be so uncomfortable to me.
but that wasn't even the best one. Another guy came in and he waited for us to finish the segment. So a lot of times you're talking and people know some people just walk up and start talking to you just immediately. And you kind of have to like hold up your hands or like you're trying to tell them to steal third or bunt because you're doing all these hand signals to say, we're actually on the radio right now.
God, how great would it be to be public figure Mickey Ryan? This is what it must feel like to be an Instagram influencer.
No, it's just how it feels to be somebody that looks familiar to everybody. I look familiar to I'm the most generic looking human who's ever walked the earth.
Just I don't think that's true.
5'0", 100-0. It's Rudy and me. Everybody thinks they know me or that I'm their cousin's friend or something. So another guy comes in and he says, he waits for the whole segment to end and he goes, hey, what station is this? And we're like, it's 104.5 The Zone. He goes, oh yeah. And we have a banner on our table and he goes, oh yeah, I know the station. Y'all talk about sports. We said, yeah. He goes, sports DJs. And we're like, absolutely. We're sports DJs.
Love that.
I do too. I hope that catches on. I always wanted to be a wacky FL DJ and talk like this.
So I'm like, I demand you do the rest of the show in that voice.
Boy, that's a big turnoff to a lot of people. Just ask my wife anytime I crack that voice open. So this dude is like, yeah, man, sports DJs. And he looked not at Blaine. I mean, here's a Tennessee Titan legend. And he looks at me and he goes, I know you. I know who you are. And I'm like, oh, but that's awesome, man. Thanks. And he goes, this guy's dead serious. He goes, you own that hemp farm on Highway 25.
No.
I said, no, man. You got me confused with another farmer. He said, no, man, that's you. I've been by that place. It's a hemp farm. It's on Highway 25. You own that place. And I'm like, hey, brother, if I owned it, I wouldn't be here.
No.
I'd be there. I'd be counting my money.
I'd be sitting on a throne made of hemp.
Of hemp. I have sneakers made of hemp. That's as far as I go. I got these recycled sneakers made of hemp. And the guy's like, no, man, that's you. I'm 100% sure that's you. So if there's a dude that looks like me in Gallatin who's a hemp farmer, shout me out.
I need to know where Gallatin is. I need to know where this hemp farm. See, this is how I show my ignorance as a not a native of Tennessee, but living here for 5 years. I don't even know where the hell Gallatin is, much less the hemp farm off Highway 25. But if I had to position you for anything before we go to commercial break here, Mick, I would say that you are indeed the hemp kingpin of Middle Tennessee. There is going to be a Narcos, not Mexico, Gallatin edition, and we will see Mickey Ryan there as the hemp kingpin consigliere presiding over all things hemp in the mid-state.
You just watch. Mickey Ryan's going to have something crazy happen this weekend, and he's not going to show up on Monday because he's just going to be rolling in hemp. Just watch.
Well, yeah, because the hemp, the other hemp drug lords that are out to get him are going to come take him out. That's how this is how all the shows play out. This is how Narcos goes. I've just written the script. I hope you're okay, Mick.
We'll see you in a minute, and we'll see you on Highway 25 at the farm.
Jason Martin and Ramon Foster, they don't just want you to listen. They want you to also hang out and kick it with them every morning. As long as you're wearing pants, that is. J. Martin Ramon, tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey getting ready to wrap up hour number two, the second and final hour of the program as it is. I told a story yesterday, was in Gallatin. We were doing a show at Sudden Service, and a very kind gentleman was 1,000% sure that I owned a hemp farm on Highway 25. And he told me several times, no, that's you. After I told him, it's not me. He said, no, that's you. I said, it's not me. And another gentleman was kind enough to tell me that he had seen me play music in a funeral band up there, which I calmly told him I have not done that either. And he calmly told me that, yes, that was me. So apparently I've been cloned and I'm doing big things up in G-Town. Our buddy FU Bama on Twitter. I'll leave it at that. That's his handle. Don't get mad at me, Crimson Tiders. He said, I can relate. A dude in Gallatin, after making me feel uncomfortable, staring at me for 30 minutes, he said, are you not going to say anything? Brother, I don't know you. He asked, you're not Chris? He said, no, brother, I'm Eric.
See, I love that this mystical place that I've never been to, perhaps I should visit to see who I could be mistaken for. I've never been to Gallatin. I've heard only of Gallatin Pike because that's within, you know, that's inside the perimeter. Everything else we consider OTP for us Nashville transplants. Outside the perimeter, everything else, Gallatin sounds like it's one of these places. So perhaps I should go just for a social experiment to see who I get mistaken for or what funerals I have played the guitar at. What formerly illegal, now legal products I'm farming off Highway 25. It sounds like a wonderful experience.
There's the lake is up there. It's beautiful. You cross this bridge to go into the city. At one time when I moved to Middle Tennessee, honestly, there were like four working dinner theaters in Gallatin. They were everywhere up there. It was a big theater hub for musical dinner theater. So a lot of culture, a lot of places to eat. There's stuff to do up there. We'll go up there sometime. We'll road trip to Gallatin. Maybe we'll see those kind gentlemen again who know me as a funeral musician and a hemp farmer. And maybe we need to go to that hemp farm on Highway 25. We have several poll questions running right now, and we want to update all of the poll questions that we have going that are based on things that were said during the show today. So I will turn the floor over to One Buck Rising to handle what we'll call 104.5 The Zone poll evaluation.
Yes. Whose poll are we evaluating? Well, of course, 104.5 The Zone's. You can, of course, follow the station on Twitter at 104.5. First and foremost, as I scroll past Clay Travis's face, Blaine and Mickey poll, how invested have you been in Nashville SC's inaugural season? Because, of course, they clinched a playoff spot, a win yesterday in their first season of existence. The options, a lot, a little, not at all. 70%, a resounding 70% of the audience is not at all invested in the first season of Nashville SC. You surprised by that?
Yes and no. I'm from a small town, and like anytime a new restaurant opens, everybody goes and eats there. Like you were saying earlier, hey, this is your biggest opportunity. You're new. Everybody wants to come check you out. COVID killed that. Because there's a bunch of people who would have said, I'm going to go check this out. They never got the chance to. They need to re-rack this thing and hope there's a vaccination for next year. And they'll have a much better run at it then. Stupid COVID is just hurting everything.
COVID can kill everything, it seems, but Nashville SC's playoff hopes. They're alive, baby. They're in the
tournament. Keep on rolling, boys. Yeah.
Keep on rolling. If they win the championship, if they win the MLS title in the first year, I'll sing every verse of that Hey Brother, Hey Sister song that seems to be to get such rave reviews. Secondly, as we continue the poll evaluation here on the Blaine and Mickey Show,
that's what we call it.
How do you feel about Titans running back Derrick Henry's performance through six games? He, of course, has won the AFC Offensive Player of the Month in October with a fantastic performance against the Texans. The options, underperforming, overachieving, lives up to the hype. 89% of the audience believes that the king is living up to the billing. I disagree.
See, the weird thing, and I said this all along about he and Tannehill, when we were, and we got a couple minutes left. Here's what I thought about both of them. If sign both, don't just sign one, sign them both. They're like Forrest and Jenny. They're like peas and carrots. They go together. They complement each other. Derrick Henry putting 8-9 people in the box gives Tannehill these options in this play action. Not that he couldn't do it anyway, but them and Arthur Smith, that's just a magical three-way of football ecstasy right there.
And perhaps a poll evaluation in the midst of it. Hopefully, though, at
Touché.
The end of four. Hopefully, at the end of the movie, neither Tannehill or Derrick Henry dies of HIV/AIDS. The final poll.
This isn't Philadelphia. What are you talking about?
No, I thought doesn't Jenny gets AIDS at the end of the movie, right?
That's up for debate. Some people think she had like hepatitis or something.
No, regardless, some kind of sexually transmitted disease. Anyway, the final poll evaluation.
People today in the poll evaluation.
Here on the Blaine and Mickey Show.
People are picking up kids. Picking up their kids.
Oh, at 2:52 in the afternoon, no. But those children are probably still being Zoom schooled. The final poll, a listener is convinced that Mickey Ryan runs a hemp farm off Highway 25. Parenthetically, I add, he does not. What does Mickey most look like he farms? Your options, corn, beans, hemp, or cotton. 39% of the audience, Mickey, the majority, thinks you are a hemp farmer. The narcos of Highway 25 in Gallatin, where you preside over your hemp empire.
Two-Tone Blue responded to that and said, it looks like he grows Toyota Priuses. That became a big thing once, what car does Mickey drive? And several people weighed in with Toyota Prius. It's a Toyota, but it's a Tacoma. I'm a Tacoma guy.
It just means that you give off the vibe of eco-friendly, which so does hemp.
Mr. Eco-friendly, that's me. All right, time to give way to the eco-friendly crew at 3HL. Blaine will be back next Monday. Buck will be in tomorrow. We got Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus as well. We may have another special guest. You just never know unless you tune in. We'll let 3HL have it now. Buck, what do you got on primetime tonight, buddy?
I'm going to debate the fraudulence of Derrick Henry's Offensive Player of the Month Award. Tune in on wherever you get your streaming platforms. You can follow us at A2Z Sports.
Yeah, and at Buck Rising, feel free to hammer him there for his evaluation. All right, time for us to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Buck will be back. So will I. Peace.
The Titans are back on the road against the NFL Draft's number one pick, Joe Burrow, and the Cincinnati Bengals. This isn't LSU, Joe. You play for the Bengals. Kickoff is Sunday at 12 noon on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone. Yeah,